The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE Champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks! The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of SmackDown Matters. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. And I'm joined, of course, by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet.
Oh, hello, friend.
What's going on with you, Miss Didi? How are you this week?
I'm not wonderful, but I am good.
Okay. Glad that you're doing well. You haven't been run rampant by cabin fever yet?
No, and I'll tell you why. These people gonna get the Rona. Right? So, you know, even barring, you know, the protests, which are important and all of that good stuff, DC was already going to open on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I don't know, 80 degrees on Friday, which means everybody was out. Like, they still got signs up in our lobby that say, if you come to the lobby, you should really have on a mask. You think anybody had on a mask? No. What were they doing? Standing right beside each other. Where's 6 feet? We don't know her. Like, I saw 3 fucking dogs. I didn't even know we had dogs in the building. Like, what? What goes on right now? So, when I tell you I do not have cabin fever, I go out my one day a week, and I would quite like to keep that going until July. Because all of you people are going to catch the Rona, and I don't want it. So, I want to stay far, far away from all of you all.
Yes, continue to wear your mask. Yes.
I have a mask. I have plenty of masks. My friend gave me one. I bought 3 more. My mother sent me 2. And then somebody in Old Lady Gang just sent me 2 off some random stuff. I have all the masks I need.
I hear you.
I'm safe.
Yes.
Y'all not. Because y'all don't believe in masks or 6 feet. You just out there breathing each other's nasty air. Gross. The Rona particles are just like floating around you like a damn snow globe.
Well, thank you for that quite the visual, Miss Didi Jonet.
You know, I'm here for the imagery. Here we
go. We'll see if you can.
Oh, speaking of people, your favorite is going to the hairdresser.
Whom is that?
Jadalyn.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And what's happening?
I was like, girl, don't catch the Rona. I'm trying to get you a sew in. She said, I don't have a sew in. It's VB 2018. I said, okay. I was like, fine. Just don't get sick.
Well, yes. We'll make sure that the wrestling gods put hands over top of her trip to the salon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not that bold yet.
Shh, at all. Again, July at the earliest. Might not see the lady until September. So sorry.
Yeah, right at the end of summer, right before it starts getting, where people start getting sick again, where they've been well for like 2 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need health. I need definitive, discernible healthiness from people. Like, I can't play. Like, you know, I work in HR. Half the people want FMLA. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't want it. Every other day I'm getting calls about, oh, they said I should call y'all if I went out of the town. I went out of town. Like, they call it the National Capital Region, I guess. So, like, if you leave the tri-state area, you're supposed to tell them. Everybody leaving, talking about, oh yeah, I went to Ohio, oh, I went to Pennsylvania, oh, I went to here. I'm like, nigga, why are you going to the Ozarks? What are you doing?
They got free time on their hands. They gotta do something.
I can't. Like, why can't you just, I don't know, go to Ocean be like all the rest of the stupid people. Like, why are you leaving the whole area? Like, what goes on? Like, I'm so, I just want to stay home. Everybody's bored. These cops call. They don't even leave a voicemail about why they need you to call them back. So you call it back and it be on some dumb shit. And then they talk to you for like 15 minutes because they're stir crazy too. Because half of them are on like a 2 week on, 2 week off schedule. So I talked to this one guy. I was like, oh, it must be nice. He was like, yeah, I have kids though. I have to homeschool. He was like, it ain't that great.
I'm trying to figure out these problems. These cats are smarter than me when it comes to this new way of teaching people.
Shh, listen. I have been helping middle school or high school students like the last 10, 12 years. I wasn't good at it when I first started. Now, oh, it's impossible. Do what with the math? What? How'd you get that answer? Oh, that's not how I was taught, so I can't do it.
Yeah, they teach them the roundabout way.
They teach them real different, and apparently it ain't that clear, because when you be like, explain it to me, they come. That's like, now listen, if you don't know how you got there, I can't get there either. You supposed to talk to me like I'm dumb, but they don't know it either. So it's like, we all stupid.
Speaking of getting somewhere, how did Randy Orton get where he got to?
Listen.
On Friday.
I have so many questions. I'm so confused. I'm concerned and I don't like it. And what I have decided, until I learn any different, I am going to presume that Edge beat him on top of the head harder than we thought. Because I don't know any other way this happened. Like, Randy Orton been in the WWE for, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years at this point.
Getting close.
He has known all the black people he needs to know. There are no new black people. What, he made friends with Montez or something? Like, what could have changed? Who did he meet? Who cursed him out? Who hugged him? What? How? I got so many questions. But even if I got an answer, I would still have more follow-up questions.
it was definitely like a head-turning revelation.
Like somebody
did what?
Yeah, and it's like one of my best friends is like tangentially into the WWE, not really, but enough that she saw the tweet and she was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "It's bullshit." He was just tweeting that other girl the other day. It's bullshit. But then there was like a follow up tweet that was like, "I used to say all lives matter," and it's like, "Now you wait a goddamn minute. Where is Randy Orton? Who? Like, is this like?" The what's that thing? What was that show? The Lupita movie where like there was the underworld her and they switched.
Yeah.
And it's like did his tether switch and we didn't realize it? Like what goes on? How'd this happen? Why he know Black Lives Matter all of a sudden? Like did he get a new girlfriend? But like no, racists have sex with black people all the time. So why would that what happened? I have so many questions.
Yeah, Randy Orton out here all of a sudden.
This is like the biggest mystery.
Maybe he's been hanging out with Seth Rollins.
Well, you know, Seth Rollins got his one black friend and changed his whole life, so maybe it's just like a chain reaction. But this is like the biggest mystery since that one guy's doppelganger who tried to kill Roman Reigns for no reason. Like
oh, Eric Rowan.
Yeah. This is like top two mysteries of the last 18 months. Like, what? Huh? I'm confused.
Yes, so Randy Orton is shocking the wrestling world with his activity on Twitter.
You want to talk about a turn?
He's gone from All Lives Matter to Black Lives Matter? It don't even sound right.
It don't sound right. I'm confused.
Highly. Maybe the imagery is just like, you know what? Finally, for once, it's just so crystal clear.
No, I don't think that's
I'm just reaching for straws. I don't know either.
I don't know. I just want to know. I want to know what was like, was it Montez? Was it Binky? Like, did Binky hit him with her ponytail? Like, what happened? I want to know what happened. Like, because his wife was problematic too, so it ain't like they had to come to Jesus moment. Like, what was it? The world may never know.
Exactly. We will never maybe know what made the turn for Randy Orton. But maybe if he does any outside of wrestling media, somebody will have the foresight to ask him about that.
I hope so. I got a question.
Well, let's give the people some answers about what happened on this week's SmackDown.
On this week's SmackDown, you'll be shocked to know that it came from the Performance Center down in Florida.
But
it's on the outside.
And they have fans.
We have fans. We have what are they called?
Hockey boards?
Actors.
Those are the NXT.
I'm talking about the fake ass cops.
Oh, you're talking about the very start, yes.
Yeah, the actors. Yeah, I'm not talking about the staff members. I'm talking about the fake actors. And why do we have actors? Wait, this is kayfabe. There are no actors. I'm sorry. Well, we have our cops. And the cops are outside with Renee Young because apparently a rental car crashed into a tree, even though there's no injury to the car. It's just that the hood is up. But go with us on our journey. So, in front of said damaged rental car is Elias, still looking like his dad, Randy Savage, but laid out. Apparently, the poor baby is injured. They say that there was a hit and run, and somebody hit Elias out of nowhere. And then when the car crashed, they ran away. So the cop is going through the car trying to see what happened and see what he can find. And he finds the rental papers for A1 Jeff Hardy. So he's like, who's Jeff Hardy? Y'all know Jeff Hardy? And the refs are like, oh, we can go look in the building. And so it's like, oh my gosh. Oh no. So Elias is stretchered away and the cops get to running towards some bushes. Braun Strowman is out there being an innocent bystander looking big as hell. Like, I was like, when did he get to be 18 feet tall? My God, looking like the goddamn Great Khali.
I mean, Kayla Braxton was interviewing him, and she is like 4 foot nothing.
That's true. It's like, you know, those optical illusion things. But I was like, my God, he looks like a big piece of meat. Yes. Remember, he's problematic, so we don't like him anymore. But I forgot in that moment. My God. Yes. So anyway, the cops shoot Renee Young away, saying this is a crime scene. But like I said, the referees are the ones who go help to find Jeff Hardy. And so is Jamie Noble. He's looking around. The cop had found a bottle of alcohol. And so they had found Jeff Hardy and they smell said alcohol on him. And so then they arrest him. Jamie Noble and Jason Jordan was there?
Yeah.
Tell him to just cooperate and they're on their way too. I didn't see Jason Jordan.
He was the light skinned dude looked like. in the kind of brownish suit.
He was looking like his daddy?
Yeah, pretty much.
See, that's another one. It's like, I know I'm not supposed to really think that's his father, but the best way to lie to people, I told you, is to just tell them the truth. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. Trying to tell you. Okay, so anyway, backstage, the roster is updated that Elias is no longer able to wrestle in the IC Championship match. And they are informed that Jeff has been arrested, which means he can't do his match. And Sheamus is like, oh, shocker, can't imagine. And then he calls him a pathetic junkie, which isn't nice. So AJ's like, sounds great. So then that means it's Bryan and AJ in the finals. And that's apparently what it should be. But Daniel Bryan is like, oh, that's not fair. So he offers a shot to new opponents, basically taking over Jeff's old slot. AJ calls this the dumbest thing he's ever heard. Daniel Bryan calls him a coward. Sheamus agrees with Daniel Bryan and says he deserves another shot. Corbin offers a match with AJ, and AJ says my favorite answer, which is what?
Hell no.
Correct. He didn't sign up for this. The guy's making the noise lost. AJ isn't an idiot like some people. He's taking his bye into the finals. Again, I'm here for it. Not working harder. For what? What do I gain? Get out of my face. I love it. Look at my Lisi just doing what he needs to do.
Coming back, making you proud.
She's so smart. I feel smart. Liz have a match. No. Why? Why would I do that? I wouldn't. Get out of my face. I love it. So anyway, Sheamus calls it. He says it's going to be Sheamus versus Brian versus Corbin to face AJ in the finals. Jey Uso is there and he points out they both lost and wonders who wants some action one time. Dolph is confused as to which Uso this is. Fair. Very fair. He says this is the IC title and he is a 6-time champ and we have forgotten how good he is because we are distracted by the extensions, is what I say. Mm-hmm. The blend is suspicious. But anyway, Chad Gable, otherwise known as Shorty Gable, says no one forgot. They just know he's a jackass. Brian and AJ get their respective wishes. So AJ's not having his match and there will be a battle royal to see who will face Daniel Bryan for his spot. Everyone leaves except AJ and Daniel Bryan, and AJ calls him an idiot, which is not incorrect. So, said battle royal starts next. Corbin hits a right hand, and he eliminates Lince Dorado because said right hand hit Lince when he was midair. So it's like when you swat out a fly.
Poor Lince.
Very much like that. He deserves better, but, you know, he did good for what I remember. Corbin sends Drew into the ropes, chest first, then underhooks and pulls Drew over the top rope, and therefore he is eliminated. Graham and Talik rocks the ropes and gets super kicked by Dolph, and then Corbin eliminates him. Corbin claps hands with Dolph, then sends him over the top with one hand. This is right after... Dolph tried to get the jump on said Corbin, and it was like, hey, JK, we're friends, right? And Corbin was like, yeah, sure, and throws him over the top of his hand. Jay comes out of nowhere, kicking Corbin, eliminating him. Cesaro ends up with Chad Gable on the apron. Gable tries to take Cesaro down over the top by the head, and does so. What a winner. Nakamura misses a few kicks, and Gable eliminates him. Nakamura tries to attack because, you know, sore loser time. The refs go out of the ring to stop him. Cesaro runs back into the ring and eliminates Chad Gable. They let this happen because Nakamura has distracted the refs to the point where they didn't see how he got out of the ring, but they know he's out of the ring. Now, a logical person like me would be like, you didn't see me go over the top rope. Because if you saw me go over the top rope, you would know that he eliminated me when he shouldn't have. So you didn't see it. So how you going to tell me I can't be in this match? Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. First of all, you don't even know if I went over the top rope or not. I could have went through the middle rope. You didn't see anything. Listen, that's what's wrong with these people. They don't know how to advocate for themselves. They're so used to things just going their way that they don't know how to fix it. Me, I'd have been back in that match. But unfortunately, Shorty Gable does not have the range. So, Jay's still in there. He runs the apron, goes for a super kick. But Sheamus sends Jay into the post back first. Kind of seemed like he also hit his head. And then he hits a bro kick to send Jay flying straight on his back, VV painfully. And Sheamus wins.
This was a lot of fun.
I thought so, too. I enjoyed it. I wasn't mad at it.
It was good to see Chad Gable.
Was it?
Yeah. Shorty Gable. Got to give him some props.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
Has it?
It has.
Okay. Well, then I'm glad he's back. Backstage, Sonya cuts a nice promo about Lacey, talking about put your hair up and square up. Apparently, for all of Sonya's skill, she doesn't have any peripheral vision because she doesn't realize that Lacey is directly behind her. So she lets her finish her promo and then immediately pushes her down to the ground and calls her nasty. And it's like, I'll see you in the ring, girl. Also backstage, Chad Gable is VV upset. He's mad that his opportunity was stolen from him. He's like, I don't care if I lose. I'm mad that you stole it and I didn't lose fairly. Cesaro tells him that Gable seems lost, and this is the big league. Get it? Big. Someone like him being the IC champion is a joke. So Cesaro did him a favor, and then he's going to do him another one and give him the chance to walk away. The alternative is him entering the ring with him, Chad Gable's looking at him, and gives him a good two-piece with the elbow to accept said challenge. Nakamura holds Cesaro back with the biggest smile on his face I have seen since his debut. And I was like, that is my petty prince. Like, yes, better do what you need to do. Because this fight has what? Nothing to do with you. Like, you better get some enjoyment out of it. So anyway, Sonya isn't done. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. There's a match between Sonya and Lacey. I skipped over the details. There was a gator roll to the outside. Oh, what had happened was Lacey, we had been talking on the interwebs about how I am not just a blonde. I have skills. I was a wrestling champ. So when the match starts, Lacey's like, I'll let you start. I will stand here and we can scrap up since you think you have shit. And basically, you know, Lacey did what she had to do for the most part. There was a gator roll to the outside. Lacey traps Sonya in the apron. She beats her down and Lacey drops Sonya behind the apron. Sonya's back up. She takes Lacey down hard. There's some right hands to Lacey over and over. The ref is at an 8 count. Lacey mounts and pulls Sonya up as the ref hits 10. There is no winner. However, Sonya is not done. She sends Lacey into the announce table. Lacey does the same thing, but she sends Sonya into the corner ribs first. Lacey enters the ring to yell at Sonya. Sonya grabs a headset and tells Lacey she'll fight her on her own terms. Boo. And I don't mean boo. I mean like, boo. Hey, we got spicy.
Yeah, this was kind of good. Kind of send Sonya Deville down a little alternative path with a different Bond and Mandy right now.
Yeah, it was very much like, oh, you're talking about blondes? Me. I am a blonde. You must be talking about me. And it's like, that's why people think blondes are so selfish. It's like, nobody was talking about you, honey. Like, what you got to do with Mandy? But she was like, I'm a blonde. I beat your ass. Which also, I enjoy that energy, too. So, you know, I'm not mad at it. I really do like these little hockey dividers. Like people banging on them. Fun. Okay, backstage, the Forgotten Sons, who I've already forgotten about 3 different times, talk about appreciating what they've done for their country. What country? This country?
Mm-hmm.
Say word. Blake says they will no longer turn the other cheek. Their blood was on our hands, so now it's only fair that our blood is on theirs. They said this last week. I still don't quite know what it means. Bliss welcomes us to a moment of Nikki asks for coffee as Bliss welcomes the new day. She says they are here to scope out the competition. Nikki has presents. She has brought them panty cakes, but not just any panty cakes, Scottish panty cakes. It's her grandma's special recipe. Kofi is so shocked and happy about it, but they also have gifts. Big E pulls out some coffee beans from Djibouti. Now, I can tell by the way you wrote this that you are a hot mess. I don't know if everybody knows this, but just in case you don't, there is a country in Africa named Djibouti. That is how you say it. But that makes it even funnier. So I'll just go there. But anyway, so he pours the coffee beans into the empty cups that Nikki was just reaching for. Kofi has water to said beans, stirs with a spoon that Big E pulls out of his singlet. That's nasty. Bliss says she'll drink it later. That's correct. She wonders if there are any teams that stand out. Kofi brings up the Forgotten Sons. Big E brings up the Double Iconics. But who's on SmackDown? Who? 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 I guess the Double Iconics are on Raw, huh?
Mm-hmm, they sure are.
Got it. That doesn't make sense. There aren't enough tag teams for them to be brand exclusive, but again,
the championships aren't, so that's how they try to work around it, but they haven't been.
But there aren't enough teams.
Yeah, they've been
there aren't enough around. Teams for the teams to be exclusive. The team, but and also it's the same fucking building, like, like it's one thing if y'all were on a separate schedule, but it's like you just come to work a different day. So dumb. Anyway, but again, they were asking who's on SmackDown. Bayley's on SmackDown. She's with Sasha, and they see a great tag team in the ring, but certainly not the best. Nikki congratulates Bayley on her win against Charlotte last week. Bayley calls herself the most dominant SmackDown champion in history. Bliss says that the second Bayley started talking, she stopped listening. And then Alexa targets Sasha directly, asking where her title is. Bayley calls Alexa Charlotte Jr., pimps up Sasha, saying she is the leader of this division and sent... What division? Pumps the women's up. Division?
Uh-huh. Leader of the women's division. Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting. And since she is the conversation, they put the tag team titles on the map. Well, that's facts. Bayley goes hype man, as Sasha says, if they wanted to, they could win the titles right back. But this time in this place, Sasha will show them what a great tag team they are when Sasha faces Alexa right here and now. Don't you just love it when the matches start right now? It's like, when does that ever happen? Oh, my God. Sasha doesn't seem too happy about it. She says she isn't dressed. She's looking like a bad bitch. Bayley's like, girl, it's fine. I'll just get you some boots and you'll be ready to go. Alexa tosses her jacket at Sasha. I thought Sasha dropped her jacket at Alexa.
In the very beginning.
Oh, I get it. So Alexa tosses the jacket back at Sasha and drop kicks her. Okay, I see. I'm not mad at that. You can't throw things at people. Well, you can, but you know, should be happening.
Expect them to
go. Yo, did you see that white bitch from the Target who they sprayed with the extinguisher?
No, I did not catch that, but sounds like you enjoyed the...
It was amazing. First of all, let me tell you how Twitter is. I digress because it's not that important. Let me tell you how Twitter is. I saw the video. At first, there's just a video of them, like, she's in front of a door. People are trying to get out of the Target because they looting. And somebody sprays her with a fire extinguisher. And they're like, they attacked this elderly woman. And then somebody was like, let's be clear. She had a knife and was stabbing people. Like, she was letting the white people walk by her with their loot. And she was stabbing the black people. And then I was like, oh, damn, that's fucked up. Well, no wonder they hit her with the extinguisher. And then I was like, but that bitch not elderly. She's like 40. So why the next morning, I'm on Twitter, they were like, she's in her 30s. I was like, how did y'all make her elderly? They were like, she's in her 30s and she can walk. And I was like, oh, I am undone. You people are too much for me. But then they said that she actually got into a fight at a nail shop too and got her ass whooped. And I was like, there's no way that's the same girl. Like, what kind of week is she having?
The worst one ever.
Like, because the video I saw, they did have the same haircut. And her ass was wet. Like, she dropped into, like, the pedicure water. And I was like... What is this? And there was some... she walked up to this white woman and was like, you're not going to hit me. And the white woman was like, the fuck I ain't. And like, put the paws on the girl. And I was like, wait. So then she's like, call the police. And the black woman who was suing was like, I don't know who she thinks she yelling at. I was like, y'all are too turnt. I have no idea what this has to do with Bayley and Alexa, but... it made me happy. Anyway, this match. So, Sasha misses a right, and Alexa hits a Hurricane Rana. There's a hard right from Alexa, and she heads to the top rope. Bayley hops on the apron for a distraction and does the chicken dance. I'll call that a distraction. Let's take a drink. Vodka. Nikki hops up on the apron. Bayley shoves Nikki into Alexa. That is absolutely a distraction. We should take another drink. Sasha gets a knee. She hops off the apron onto the back of Alexa and rolls through into a pin. 4, 1, 2, 3. A winner. It's what we love.
The Boss Bay. Doing that was a good Boss match, Bay actually. Things. Yeah, it was. Alexa Bliss and Sasha on SmackDown. It's been a minute since they wrestled. Felt fresh.
Yeah, exciting and new. The love I don't know what's going on with me today. Maybe I am tired. Anyway, our favorite match of the night, Cesaro versus Shorty Gable.
Top ropes. Jody G moonsault. Cover again on Cesaro. Is it enough in a kick out by Cesaro at two?
The brilliant strategy by Shorty G out of the gate. Strong.
Oh,
fast.
My God. Continuing. Look at it. Wearing down the left leg of Cesaro, which has been a problem point for Cesaro over the past few weeks here on SmackDown. And you take out Cesaro's legs, you take away his power, but you don't take away that. Wicked clothesline turns Shorty G inside out.
I think it's just about impossible to take away Cesaro's power altogether. We're talking about maybe cover here. Listen, Cesaro's in-ring IQ is second to none.
Yeah, Cesaro's so technically sound, plus he's got a mean streak.
And look at this. If this lands, Cesaro is...
Oh, Shorty G, though, landed on his feet. And look at what goes to work now on the bad leg of Cesaro. Half-crow, ankle lock. Ankle lock by Shorty G. Middle of the ring, Cesaro nowhere to go. Powers out. Shorty G bounces right off the second rope. And an uppercut, a thunderous uppercut. Cover by Cesaro. Is it enough? And again, Shorty G bridges out.
The
Shorty G, though, able to counter. Cesaro, though, rolls through. Shoulders down now to count. Shorty G again in trouble. And again, Shorty G able to kick out. What does Cesaro have to do to put this young man away?
Cesaro's asking himself the same question
Shorty
right
G.
now.
Shoulders down for Cesaro. Got him! Shorty G got him! What an upset!
Here is your winner, Shorty G!
Cesaro in disbelief. Shorty G, however, with a major victory.
Gable won.
That's right.
Yes. Come on, short. Is Gable short, or do they just put him in matches with tall people?
Both.
Like, is he as tall as AJ, or is AJ taller than him?
AJ is probably taller than him.
He didn't look short when I saw him with Jason Jordan, but it's like as soon as Kurt Angle's baby boy left, it was like he got shorter. Like all of a sudden he looked like a luchador to me or some shit.
Just another match that proves Cesaro is the most talented person bell to bell they have on that roster. He can wrestle anybody. He can wrestle Braun Strowman. He can wrestle Chad Gable. He can wrestle Seth Rollins. He can wrestle Rey Mysterio. It doesn't matter.
Oh, the Transporter is talented. Yes. Yes, he is.
Too bad he's never got the serious world title run. Because, man, his matches with everybody would be so dope.
He deserves, and he'll be good at it. And it's like, if you gave the people the chance, they would get behind Cesaro. It's never like anybody ever disliked Cesaro.
Right.
It's like, he's never had, like, negative heat. Even when he was a heel, it was just like, but it's Cesaro, so it's cool. Like, yeah. He's never been... Ooh, shit. That is a suplex. Oh, I'm watching it now. So, Cesaro did what he had to do. Like a strong man right there. You know, strong with a K, like, strong. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, Randy and Otis are poolside. Drinking some peach champagne. I saw this, but I don't remember what I saw. I'm going to presume that Otis was in a bikini as well as Mandy.
Otis was in his normal ring attire.
Yeah, like I feel like he was in a two-piece, since that's just kind of like what he wears. He's not here for the one, you know. He covers up the nips, but other than that, you're going to get what you got with him.
The only thing that was different was he didn't have no wrestling boots on.
Well, that's good, because you know a lot of times men don't wear proper shoes to the beach
or the pool area. Yeah,
or the pool area. It's like, you can't wear your Jordans to the pool, honey munches. Like,
you're correct.
Your Air Maxes don't belong. You need to get your chanclas, get you some nice little flip-flops. At best, they'll get you a Nike slide, and it's like, even that's not really the correct shoe, but...
Whoa now.
Because you wear Nike slides to the pool.
Flip-flops and socks. Like,
socks?
Slides and socks?
Slides and socks in your life, not slides and socks at the pool.
Yeah, before you get in the pool.
Yeah. Why you got on socks at the pool?
So when my feet are all nasty and I dry them off, I can put the socks on so I don't catch cold.
No, you're not going to catch a cold. That's like, oh, I said, Y'all are ridiculous. Anyway, speaking about Mandy at Otis's pool, they do a cheers to spending alone time. Mandy says she's a little tired. Otis wants to swim. Mandy has a dream sequence. And then Otis interrupts with a cannonball that splashes all over Mandy. He apologizes, and she says that she was having an amazing dream. She then walks over and into the pool, and then Mandy is making out with Otis. And then Mandy says, oh, yeah, that sounds like Otis's dream.
No, this was real. The dream was, like, Otis was getting ready to do that cannonball, and she was dreaming that, you know, he was on the other side of the pool, and he's like some, you know, typical, like, romantic comedy, like, hunk. But it's Otis. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. He does, like, a big graceful dive in the pool or whatever. Like, makes no splash. And comes up and, like, you know, is talking to her all debonair or whatever. And then it kind of flashes back to what's really happening. And then, you know, he hits the cannonball and then water goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And wakes her up.
You know what Otis is? Otis is that pirate ship water ride at all the things.
But you know, Otis is...
Or you stand on the bridge and let the thing hit.
Oh, yeah. Otis is getting... he's getting a little bit further along, though, because a couple of weeks ago, like, she was just kissing him on the cheek. This week, she was kissing him on the lips, and she was using his words.
Hey, she about to slip him some tongue. Go, Otis! Okay, so backstage again, there's an interview from Sheamus. He says she talks about Jeff. He's talking to Renee?
Talking about Kayla Braxton.
Kayla. He says Kayla talks about Jeff for weeks, and look where it got her. Nowhere. Now she's talking about Matt Riddle, but Sheamus gets results. That's why he'll enjoy bro-kicking Daniel Bryan's face one more time. Sheamus has never won this title. He's won pretty much every other one. And he won't let AJ or Daniel stand in the way. He will become WWE's first ever ultimate Grand Slam champion. He will leave a trail of bodies in the wake. This is his world, and there is no place for the weak. And then in comes Daniel Bryan, who has nothing to say. He just grins until Sheamus pokes him in the chest, and Bryan kicks him in the shin. So what would make Sheamus the ultimate Grand Slam champion? What is this additional title that he is adding to his list?
It would be the Intercontinental Championship. So he's been like the WWE champion, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's been the Raw Tag Team Champion. He's been, I think, the SmackDown Tag Team Champion. Mm. He's been... She hasn't won the IC there. Something else. He's got to have one of the Universal titles, I think, maybe for a second. I think, or the WWF title. WWE title counts as that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think he's just won all the singles belts and all the tag team belts if he can win the Intercontinental title.
I feel like if you're going to let him say that, you have to explain it. Like, all them other ones did all that, but I also did this and this. Mm-hmm. They ain't do all that. So once I get this, I'm better than them. You know what I mean? Like, and Sheamus is that kind of dude anyway. That whole I'm better than you. You're not as good as I am.
Yeah.
It would be easy for a guy like that to explain why he better. Like, is he better because I was regular Schmegular tag and SmackDown tag and Raw tag? Or am I special because I was 24/7 champion? Like, what? Why are you so special? Tell me so I can know. I want to touch and agree. Like, tell me. But anyway. Oh, Kurt Angle's back. Oh, so him and his son came back. That's so cute. So, he's here to talk about the greatest wrestling match ever. He then wants to announce the next superstar who will be the face of this brand. He's gotten to know this guy over the past few months and even got to ref his last match on NXT. Does he mean his previous match on NXT or his last match on NXT?
His previous and his last match. They were both in the same.
Oh, so he got pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we love that for him.
Did you watch that match?
It hasn't happened yet. Oh, you mean the one on Wednesday? No.
Yes.
It wasn't with the ex-tag partners, with somebody else?
Yes, it was Timothy Thatcher and this gentleman in a actual cage fight.
Oh, if it was in a cage, I didn't see that yet.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty worth checking out.
I will. here's the thing. I told you I have to watch them all twice, and then I still miss things.
Hold on. We'll derail from that show for a second, from this show to that show for a second. You know how Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, they've been doing those dinner sit-downs?
I saw Mia and Keith do that. Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
And he was like, this shit is weird. And she was like, just do it. He's like, the lighting's wrong. She's like, cafe.
She said that.
Who's the lady who dropped off the one piece of pizza?
Tegan Knox.
Iconic.
She said that. She said that Candice LeRae don't know how to dye her hair correctly.
I mean, facts are facts. She's like, put some toner on that shit, girl. Yeah.
Simi, I told Simi that clearly Mia Yim listens to the NXT cast, because from the very first time she came out with her hair like that, Simi was like, it's just something not right about that hair, though.
I could believe that Mia Yim is, like, with the people. Like, I could see her being a fan of the product. That could be delusions of me, but you know.
Yeah, but yeah, you guys should go.
I believe it.
Check out NXT. Believe it. Check out NXT if you haven't watched it this week. It was really good.
Okay, so back to the NXT is our former NXT tag champ, Matthew Riddle, who is now on SmackDown. I have a problem with his name just because I feel like there are too many Matts in the world. Like, I want a moratorium on the name Matt. I would also like to include Chris on that list. I would like to include Brandon on that list. There are too many of them. It's becoming a little convoluted. Thanks, management. So, Matt Riddle gets a video package so that those of you who do not know him can know the bro. I enjoy Matt Riddle, I'll be honest.
Yeah, he's a hell of a wrestler.
I enjoy the way he flips off his little flippy floppies. Because it's like, how do you even learn that you could do that? And it's like, how you do it all? It's almost like the Steve Austin, like, beer chug. Like, how you gonna catch all the cans? Like, you just never gonna get it wrong. You just gonna always catch, like, you just gonna always flip your shoes off at the same time. I think I saw him mess it up once. But then he got it on the second try. So it's like, come on, legs. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. You know, it's little things for me. Your final match of the night is Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan works the arm, but Sheamus lifts him, and the fireman's carry drops him in White Noise, and there's a cover for two. Sheamus punches Daniel into the corner and hits an uppercut, then whips Daniel into another corner or that corner again. Let's just go with whatever one sounds better to you. There's a drop Soho. He kicks the ropes into the face of Sheamus. How you do that? Running dropkick into another corner, and then Bryan goes for another. Sheamus lands with a double axe handle. Sheamus is going to go for the bro kick, but guess what? Jeff Hardy's back, and he distracts Sheamus. Sorry, I had to take a drink. Daniel Bryan gets a knee to the face of Sheamus, and then there is a cover for fun 2-3. I don't know if that means Jeff made bail or if he slipped his cuffs. Not too sure, but he did what he needed to do for D-Bry.
He might have been like Jim Cornette and just always rolls with a handcuff key wherever he goes.
I mean, it's not a bad idea, especially in this day and age. Her angle looked like them Octoroon people from New Orleans.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure it's probably just because of the tan, but it's like, wait a minute. You look like this quarter black guy, I know. But yeah, that's just SmackDown for the week.
In 2 weeks, it's going to be AJ versus Daniel Bryan.
Why in 2 weeks? Why not next week?
I think it's going to be at the pay-per-view.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yep.
Well, then it makes sense for AJ to have had to see. They should have not made it optional for AJ to have to reconfirm his spot. They should have made it mandatory, and then
they said, like, bump that man. All right, then wrestle these matches and beat these people. I'm here.
I understand him saying, if you're going to leave it to me, the answer is no. You know I agree with that. But I'm saying if you got an extra week and ain't nothing else popping, you could have been like, we need to replace Elias. You get another try. You know, why not?
Yeah, that's true.
Because all they're going to do next week is put somebody in a tag team match made right now. Like, what's the difference? They're not going to get a restful week. Matt Riddle be wearing the little booty shorts. You know how I feel about stuff like that.
As I want to do with you, go off the grid and talk about something else. Our man Brian Cage is in AEW now.
I don't know who that is. Yes, I do. The big one.
Yes, Melissa Santos's husband.
Yes. And then Dash and Wilder show up.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they did.
I saw that.
Mike Tyson was there with a whole bunch of MMA guys.
I saw that too.
Yeah, see, they
looking old as hell. Yes, I saw that.
I don't know. You probably did not. I should have sent you the link, but the Stadium Stampede match.
Didn't, but I heard they won.
The Inner Circle versus the Elite. It was pretty
all good. I'm here for. You know who I'm here for.
Who?
Adam.
Oh. Yes.
As long as he's a winner, I'm a winner.
Oh, okay, so the match starts, right? And everybody for the Elite comes out and they're like, where's Hangman Page? And Kenny Omega's like, he'll be here. So they get to fighting and they've been fighting for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then all of a sudden, here comes Adam Page on this damn horse. And he starts chasing Sammy Guevara. Well, Sammy Guevara starts running because, you know, he got hit with that damn golf cart. He's afraid of moving objects now. So he runs underneath the damn building, underneath the stadium, and he runs up this hallway or whatever, try to get away from him. So Adam Page is looking for him on the horse, and then he stops and gets off the horse, and there's like this little, you know, direction to like this lounge. So he goes up there to the lounge, and there's just a bar in there, and he sits his ass down and pours a drink.
When I tell you, he is literally my favorite person.
So then, like, you know, they fight. Sammy Guevara gets away from him, whatever. So they fight. They're fighting. So then all of a sudden, they see Jake Hager. He's walking down that same corridor. He sees the horse you're standing there. So he goes up there, and he finds the bar. Adam Page is sitting there. So he sits down beside him. He pours himself a drink.
Right.
They share a drink. Right. And then they commence to have a bar fight.
Listen.
And Adam Page is doing like backflips off of the bar and shit.
I love him. He's like the most interesting person to me. And I don't know when this happened. Because it's not like I watch AEW enough to really know him.
It's the, it was the, before the corona, it was the random people having extra beers for him to just drink.
There's something so clever about that. Because it's like, I also don't trust people, but I also feel like alcohol kills germs. So, like, oh, I know what it was. That was the start of it. And then when the Rona first started, he was like, I have to switch to whiskey. And I was like, you are amazing. Your mind. I live. He was like, it's safer this way. And it's like, it is. It absolutely is. What a blessing.
So, yeah. So, I guess at this point, I can just say, you can get our full review. Me and Simi, we talk about Dynamite and Double or Nothing, the pay-per-view that contained that Stadium Stampede match over on patreon.com/CSPN Media. Sign up, become a patron, and you can listen to that podcast in all of its glory.
Patrons.
Right, yeah. Miss Didi Jonet, we've come to that time in the show where it's time for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Shout out to you, of course. Shout out to Greg and the baby. Shout out to Sam, Tati, Jade, Mel, because Mel still always gets shout outs. Shout out to the chairman. Shout out to everybody who's like, masks, we don't need it. 6 feet, what's that? I hope y'all stay safe, and I hope the Rona passes you over. But, I mean, put on a goddamn mask. But, you know, I get it. So, yeah, shout out to everybody.
All right. I like to just echo those same sentiments. Shout out to Miss Didi Jonet. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to all of the WrestleBays and gorgeous ladies of the WrestleCast. We definitely appreciate you guys. Thank you for everybody who joins the hashtags each and every week. Please join the hashtag SmackDown Matters each and every Friday night. Also, as well, check out the NXT cast and the Rawcast. This week on the Rawcast, we had Mo to the underscore Reese as the guest. And me and him, we talked about Apollo Crews becoming the new United States champion. So give that a listen if you haven't listened to that. As well as me and Miss Simi on the Dark Match and the NXT cast. So get your whole complete wrap up on all three events from WWE this week through the Wrestlecast. So Miss Didi Jonet, once again, thank you for joining me. And I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 8 of SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Shorty G, tonight in the 10-man battle royal, you were eliminated by Cesaro. But you just defeated him in a singles match. You got some retribution. So will you be leaving here tonight with a little pride?
You could say that, but for a guy like me, I don't quickly forget about losses like that. That one's going to sting all week. That's going to sting all month for me, you know, losing that battle royal. I didn't lose it. You know, I got it stolen from me. But I got my payback. I got my revenge. You know, I haven't had a match in SmackDown in like 2 months. And that wears on a guy like me. You know, I have drive, passion, motivation, and it makes me sick to sit at home and watch guys like Cesaro and Shinsuke and these guys run rampant around SmackDown and do as they please, or so they think they can. So for me to come back and be able to have an impact immediately and kind of shut those guys up, it feels good.
All right, Shorty G, well, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.